If you would want to follow along in your Bible this morning, we will be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That's not going to be our sole focus, but it will be verses that we pull from this morning. We have started a series some weeks back. To begin with, we started in Psalm 27 and talked about what we seek. And the song we sang just now, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere," play right along with that. Lord, I seek you, your face I seek, not your hand. And the reason that I started our series off with that is to remind us of why we would talk about sin and why we would want to spend time investigating and understanding sin. And it's so that we can, with the Lord's power, remove sin in our lives so that we can come closer to that Lord that we seek, so that we can always seek Him. So whenever, over the next few weeks, if you get frustrated because why is the pastor picking on you, you feel that, remind yourself that the goal of this is to grow closer to Christ. The goal is not to have fingers pointed at anyone and be condemned. The goal is to say, there is something between me and my Lord that is keeping me from a close walk with Him. Lord, show me what it is so that it can be removed. Surgically, if you need to, and with a club if you have to, remove it from my life. So we are looking at the seven deadly sins, and go to the next slide if you would. Romans 8, 13 through 14 tells us, if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Earlier in this chapter of Romans, and even earlier in the book, it lets you know that those who are controlled by the Spirit are not controlled by the sinful nature. Those controlled by the Spirit follow Christ. Those who don't, don't. And then it goes on to say that even if you know Christ, you can give yourself over to that sinful nature. So, if you live according to the sinful nature, you're not controlled at all by the Spirit, but completely by the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So we're going to focus through this series. Yeah. On that verse. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And I told you before that a Puritan named John Owen wrote a fantastic book, and in it, he says, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. If we don't go out of our way to listen to the warnings of the Scripture that tell us to put off the old self, to take off the sin, and put on the new self that's created in the image of God through the Spirit of God, if we don't listen to those warnings, then sin is in control. And I believe there's been many who have been face to face with Jesus Christ on their day of judgment and found out that they never truly knew Him, because they never heard these warnings and the Spirit of God never spoke to them about these things. So, it's our desire to put to death that sinful nature, and to do that, we're going to go through again the seven deadly sins. This is in Christianity throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia. Godly men and women have looked at this list to identify core sins, root sins that others spring from. And if we can get a control of these root sins through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we enjoy the freedom in Christ and the joy and the life that He brings. Last week we looked at pride. This week we look at envy. So, will you stand with me, after that lengthy introduction, will you stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word? We'll use 1 Peter chapter 2, the first 10 verses, as the starting point this morning. And BJ, you will be in control of the scripture right now. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Lord, I pray that you would help us to abstain from the sinful desires that torment our soul. I pray that you would help identify these. And Lord, through your Spirit, Holy Spirit, through your power, put them to death. We pray this in Christ. Amen. Will you please be seated? Other verses that help us to understand the sin of envy, Proverbs 14:30, states, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." James 3:16, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." So to talk about envy, let's introduce what envy is based on some of the scripture that we've looked at just now. There's other places in the Bible that you could look at as well. But to start with, what is envy? We know from the scripture we just read that it's a sin that invites all other sins, like selfish ambition, disorder, malice, wrath, deceit, hypocrisy, slander. It goes hand in hand with these other sins. It tends to congregate with them. And so when you invite envy into your life, you open the door for so many other things. It's a sin that the scripture says rots the bones. It's an interesting way to think about sin, rotting you from the core, the inside out. But what exactly is envy? If I looked it up into the dictionary, what would it say? Well, I've looked in the dictionary and I've looked at many different places and come up with some different aspects of envy for you. Envy, some say, is a sorrow over another's good, a wanting what someone else has and resenting them for it. Not a simply wanting what they have, which could be greed or could be healthy, but wanting what they have and resenting that they have it and you don't. It's an inability to be happy because of the happiness of others. It's a belief that you should be enjoying the advantages that others have. Why do they have it? You're the one that should have it. It's a consuming desire, someone once said, to have everyone else as unsuccessful as you are. Instead of wanting everyone to be raised up and wanting everyone to achieve, it's a resenting that others are achieving and you're not, so you would rather tear them down and level the playing field that way. Envy delights at the misfortune of others and is miserable over the good fortune that others have. It's a sickness of the soul that eats away at a person. There are examples that we can think of for envy. Have you ever had a child playing with a toy? Perfectly happy. That little giraffe is the best toy they've ever had, and you wonder how in the world you could be so lucky to have a kid that likes to play with a little plastic giraffe that doesn't cost anything. All the toys in the room playing with the giraffe, having a great time. Another child walks in, sees all the toys in the room, and goes for the little plastic giraffe. And then they fight over it. And the second child can't help but want what the first child has. Doesn't matter what you give them. Here, have this toy. Here, have this. No, I want that. Why? That's envy. We want what others have. We see the pleasure that another has. We see the joy that another has. We see any blessing that another has and decide they shouldn't have it. We should instead. That's envy. Please don't even tell me you've never experienced it. We see envy all the time. We see it in parents. We see it in grandparents. It's not enough that your kids are smart. They got to be smarter than the other kid. And if the other kid seems to be smarter, you got to figure out a way to make them less intelligent. I didn't know how to say that. Less smarter? My kids need to be smarter than me. Grandparents bragging on their kids, and if another grandchild achieves, that just gnaws them to pieces. We see this on Facebook and social media. In fact, isn't that what really drives a lot of Facebook and social media? Is the showing off so others can be envious of you and the being envious of others? And do you know that they've done studies now and they've found that people who look at people's Facebook pages without posting on a regular basis have a higher rate of depression because they're seeing what they think others are enjoying and they're not. And it can lead to a very envious rotting in the soul. Competition between pastors, I hate to say it. You get any group of pastors together and you want to know how you're doing. I mean, if you get any group of people that have the same type of job together, they'll say, hey, how's your job? What's going on? And you can relate. Well, with pastors, it's, hey, how's the church doing? And then the numbers start to go out. Oh, I can't stand if a pastor walks up to me and asks, yeah, how many you got coming? None of your business. That's how many. Ask me what God's doing in the church, I'll tell you. But I don't want to get in a competition about this, and it's easy to do. And then I'll get envious. I have done this so many times, gone to a big church and had this huge chip on my shoulder to where I can't even enjoy what this other pastor is trying to do for all of us. There's a story, and it's got so many different people claim that it's this story and that story, a Jewish fable or this fable and that, about a shopkeeper who has an angel come to visit, or you could say a leprechaun, or you could say a genie, whatever, comes to visit the shopkeeper and says, I will grant you one wish. Shopkeeper says, oh, this sounds good. And the genie says, but you have to know, whatever you ask for, your rival across town will get double. And the shopkeeper thinks about this, hates the rival, and says, okay, I wish to be blind in one eye. That's envy. So what are the symptoms? How can we recognize? Yeah, I think envy is easy to see in others. But what about in ourselves? Comparison, criticizing and complaining, an ungrateful, ingratitude, And absolute hatred characterize envy. First of all, comparison. We compare ourselves to others to see what they have and in response realize what we don't have. We compare to them and say, I don't have that. Someone once said, when there's no comparison, there's no envy. Comparison is the very first step of being envious. If you want to stop being envious, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, stop comparing yourself to others. Who are you to compare yourself to them? You're both servants of God. Let him compare you. You have no business comparing yourself to anyone. Once we believe that another has what we should have, we get agitated and complaining and criticizing come in. We see it is unfair that another person may have been born prettier than we are. And unfair that another person may have more money than we do, that they may achieve more things than we do. And it grates at us. Instead of realizing that we're all different and have different qualities and different blessings and different talents, we have the idea that there should be an absolute level playing field where no one has anything special except us. It would be totally fair if we were the one with all of the things, but it's not fair that they have it. And so we get this criticizing attitude that leads to slandering and lying about others, making up things about someone that isn't true so that other people won't see them as worthy of time and attention. We question their integrity, we question their motives, and anger can even come in, which is, we'll talk about in a second, that can even lead to murderous thoughts and murder itself. Ingratitude is also part of this. Because once we see what others have, we're ungrateful for what we have. Focusing on what others have keeps us from focusing on the way we've been blessed, the talents that we've been given, the benefits that we have. There's so many times in this culture that the word privilege is used. It's crazy. Because it says that this group is privileged, but I'm not, and we're not. Really? Don't we all have things that we're privileged about? I don't know about you guys, but I'll let you know, I'm blessed by God beyond what I ever deserved. I know what I deserve. It's hell and damnation, eternal fire for a heart that is wicked towards the Lord, the one who granted me grace from the moment of birth, before birth, and yet for my first 25 years, all I could do is thumb my nose to his face. Yeah. Yet if I focus on others, I forget the blessings that I've received. If I focus on others, I can only see what I perceive as blessings in their life and greatness in their life, and it makes me miserable, and I want to bring them down. See, one of the problems here is that if you do compare yourself to someone else, and let's say you find someone that is blessed in so many ways, wouldn't that make you want to seek those blessings too? I mean, wouldn't the desire to be, let's say, I remember when I first started walking with Christ, 26, 27, 28 years old, married but no children yet, I look to men and we look to couples in the churches we were at who had a really amazing walk with Christ, who were blessed, who we could identify as people that obviously knew what it meant to walk with the Lord. And you know what we did? We went and asked them. We went and asked to spend time with them. We said, tell us, teach us, show us, because we want that too. But you see, envy doesn't do that. Envy says, well, you know, they just got that because, well, you know, I mean, she grew up a pastor's kid or he's married to, you know, the worship leader. So, of course, they've got it easy. Really? No, they don't. They're people just like anybody else. And the blessings they have, if the Lord has been blessing them in a certain way, he's expecting them to walk in that way too. Envy's blind to its own gifts. And what happens because of this is hatred and irrational behavior kicks in. When we decide others have what we deserve, anger and hatred fosters in our heart, and we are willing to do whatever it takes to bring them down. Recently, someone said the most outrageous lie about somebody else, and when confronted, said, "Yeah, I lied about that. I'm sorry I did that, but I had to." Irrational, crazy, willing to do whatever it takes to bring someone down because they have something you perceive that you don't. Biblical examples are all over. Cain and Abel. Very quickly, early on in Scripture, we find that one brother gives his offering and God says, uh-uh. And the other brother gives his offering and the Lord says, that is a worthy offering, and blesses him. And so the first brother, Cain, murders Abel. That's envy. That's rage, which we'll talk about next week. Anger, out of control, because envy was allowed to root. We see this in Joseph and his brothers. Yes, Joseph's father, Israel, set the stage for envy in all his boys. Taking Joseph, giving him the coat of many colors, and preferring him over all, but those brothers had a choice how they would respond. And instead of seeing the blessings that they had, all they could see was Joseph. And what did they do? They tried to murder him, but instead sold him into slavery. King Saul and David. David comes along and should be seen with Saul as someone who's blessed. Jonathan, Saul's son, saw David as a blessing, was thankful to God for him, but not Saul. All Saul could do is throw spears at David's head and chase him with his army because he was envious of what David had that he didn't. We see it all through Scripture. Even Peter and John, when Jesus comes to them and Jesus tells Peter what his death will be like, that he will be martyred for him, Peter's first response is, "What about him, Lord?" And what does Jesus tell him? "That's my business, not yours." Envy will rot us away. So how can you test whether envy has taken root? Well, ask yourself, what's my general attitude? Do people like to be around me because I'm filled with joy? Or am I complaining and difficult? Am I someone that's not satisfied with anything? Am I always looking to what others have instead of recognizing what's right in front of me? Do I look at other people's families and then compare them to mine and find mine lacking? Do I never want what I have? How much time do I spend complaining about what others have, what they do, the way they are? And do I tend to feel sorry for myself? I'll never forget one time someone at this church years ago, decades ago, in the bathroom went to get a paper towel. No paper towel was there. Guess what came out of the person's mouth? "Thanks a lot, Lord. I really needed that today." That's someone ruled by envy, taking strange forms and irrational behavior, but thinking that everybody else has it easy when they run out of paper towels and nobody else does. Do I feel sorry for myself? Do I think that life is unfair and blame God for that? Do I think that the whole system is rigged against me? Listen, politicians play on envy. They go out of their way to say, "This group has what you don't have. You should throw them over and take it for yourself." Instead of saying, "You can have this too if you'll work hard and you'll do the things that they did to get it." But no. Listen, I grew up in a house of envy. My house on the door said "House of Envy." Okay, it's not true. It said Daniels. It had a big D on the door. But it could have just said "House of Envy." My dad taught me to hate anybody with money. I was taught from a very young age that if anybody else had money, you were to hate them because they must have robbed and stolen to get it. Now, the ironic thing is, my dad would rob and steal all the time. In fact, my dad, my uncle lost his license to sell insurance because the insurance commissioner did an investigation in the state of Florida and caught people faking signatures on insurance policies. I know my dad did that too. Somehow he didn't get caught. His brother did, but he didn't. And so what did they do? His brother continued to sell insurance and used my dad's license. This is the family I grew up in. And yet we were taught that if anybody had money, they cheated and stole to get it. My dad and his brother, they'd go into the grocery store and eat things off the shelf. Open the box, eat it all, put the box back on the shelf before we left. This is how crazy envy is. Okay? And this is the chip that I had growing up. I remember when I first met Kristen and she dragged me to church. And we went to a very wealthy church. My first impulse was to hate every single person there. And then I actually got to know them. And I realized that these people worked hard, harder than anybody that I had met, harder than anybody in my family. They put in 60 and 80 hour work weeks. Really? And I thought, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't get out of bed until 10:30. You didn't get to work until after 1 because you stopped on the way at Eckerd Drugs and ate lunch on the way to work. You came home by 5. Of course we didn't have any money. But the whole system was rigged against our family. Questions to ask. Am I bettering myself or bittering myself? Is bitterness festering inside my heart because no one gets what they deserve? At least, not me. How do I feel when a friend receives something that I want? A coworker getting a promotion and I don't? Can I still be happy for them? Can I laugh with people who laugh and grieve with people who grieve, as the scripture tells me to? Do I rejoice over the accomplishments of other people's children? Or when I'm read about another person's children, I think, well, you know, and come up with all sorts of reasons why that child isn't very special. Do I get mad because others have a closer walk with God than I do? Am I encouraged and challenged by the success of others? Do I want to achieve that for myself, or am I just irritated about it? And do I ever stop and take time to ask God to show me what talents and abilities and blessings he's given to me and how to use them for others? You see, envy goes right along with pride, like we talked about last week. Pride is a centered on self, a selfishness, as if we're the only ones that matter. And envy, right along with it, says, you are the only one that matters, and all that you have is for you. And if others have something and they're not giving it to you, then something's wrong with them because they should give it to you, regardless of the fact that you don't give to anybody else. Envy's got it backwards. What God says is, I've given you all these so that you can be a blessing for others. Not coming this way, but going that way. So how do we fight it? Well, we're going to look at that passage in Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 and see how that passage, the Apostle Peter, lets us know to fight these things like envy. And what it boils down to is we should seek God, seek his love, recognize his love for what it is, and show gratitude for it. And once we do that, then give that love to others. But by the way, you don't start by giving love to others if you haven't been seeking the love of Christ first. Seek God's love. So, after, in this passage in 1 Peter, it said, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. You see how that's the antidote for those things? Get rid of these things that are rotting your soul and crave spiritual milk. Like a baby who's craving his mother's or her mother's milk. You ever tried to tell a baby, no, you're not going to get fed? That baby needs that, craves that. The whole focus of that child is on that feeding. That's the way we're supposed to crave spiritual milk from God. Crave, desire God in such a way that we cry out in pain until he fills us. So that by it, you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. How do we fight things like envy? We seek God and his love. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. When I identify sin in my life, whether it's pride, whether it's envy, wrath, gluttony, lust, I can't think of all of them, but whatever it is, I turn to Christ. I turn my heart to the Lord and seek to love him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. If I am doing that, I don't have time to worry about others. I don't have time to compare myself because I'm looking at the face of my Savior instead. So when I'm seeking his love, I'm recognizing the love he has already given to me. Listen to what Peter tells us. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Jesus is chosen by God. Jesus is precious to him. You also, like Jesus, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How do I keep from comparing myself to others and finding that I don't match up to them? I look to Christ and recognize that he has set me apart. I am part of a royal priesthood that our whole design is to bring praises to God. I get to be part of that. I am belonging to God. I am chosen by God. Just as Christ is in the Heavenly Father, so am I, if I know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, let me ask you this. If I look to you or anyone else to see what God has blessed you with or what natural talents and abilities you have that I don't, how can that compare to the fact that God loves me and has set me apart for his purposes? I mean, is there any comparison here? Is there any way that I can be envious of that person when I know that Christ gave his life for me? For me. When I know that his love was so great for me that he spared nothing to show it to me. Why in the world do I worry about anybody else when I'm loved that much by my Father? Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Recognize the love that God has already given you and then show gratitude for it. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That is your job. That is what you're called to do. So show gratitude for what God has given you. Stop worrying about what he's given to others. You know what's really crazy about envy? I don't envy Billy Graham. Doesn't bother me at all that Billy Graham has had an amazing ministry. In fact, I never think, oh man, I could be just like Billy Graham. No. I mean, it's just obvious. It's amazing the ability that God has given him and the numbers that have come to Christ through his preaching. John Piper is also a hero of mine. I don't envy him at all. You know who I envy? The local pastor who made it big. The guy who went to seminary with me and writes a book that millions of people all around the world have read. I mean, he was in seminary class with me. That's David. David Platt, who's now head of the IMB, International Mission Board. Yeah, I confess to you, that was a hard one. And what I had to do is say, you know what, Lord? Praise God for David Platt. Praise God for Fred Luter right here in New Orleans. Praise God for these men that you've called to do your kingdom work. I'm not going to compare myself to them because I see the blessings that I have in you and praise God for that. Do you see what I'm talking about? You don't envy the people you barely know that are famous. You envy the ones that you think you should have been. They're usually the people closest to you. Stop it. It's disgusting. Let's instead look at what God has done in our lives and give him praise for that and live with a heart of gratitude. Show gratitude for what God has given already. Declare his praises. 1 Thessalonians 3, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. That's one of the hardest Bible verses ever. I don't care what Bible verse that you can throw up and say, boy, I struggle with this one. Yeah, I'll guarantee you struggle with give thanks in all circumstances. Can you give thanks in every circumstance? You can if you recognize that everything good comes from the Heavenly Father above. Period. Give thanks for it. In all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just matter of fact, this is what God expects. This is why God gives you these good things, so that you can give thanks and give praise and others can see it and come to know him because of it. Let me ask you, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, what brought you to him? Was it the miserable church lady who had nothing good to say about anybody? Or was it that person that was so filled with joy over what God had done for them, even though you couldn't see how they could brag about having anything much of at all, but they wanted to share that love that they knew with you? Give thanks in all circumstances and show God's love to others. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not compare yourself with your neighbor and be envious of them and then try to undermine them and take away what they have. You notice it doesn't say that. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what God has done in your life. You practice knowing it. You seek it out, and then you let God show that to others through your life. When you recognize God's great unconditional love for yourself, you are free. Free to love others without the anxiety of having to compare yourself with them. Free to love others and give praise and rejoice over the joys that they receive. So, what are some specific actions we can take? First of all, just seek a closer walk with Jesus. No matter where you are with him, you can always be closer. Spend time contemplating, thinking about, studying, understanding his great love for you. Maybe just spend time trying to understand that God so loved the world in this, that he gave his one and only Son, so that all who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Just try to wrap your mind around the fact that he gave his life for you. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't have to clean yourself up. You didn't have to become good. You had to recognize your evil and bad nature and simply repent and claim his righteousness as your own. And then seek to bless someone that you've been envious of. You know who drives you crazy when they get something that you don't have. Decide that instead of undermining them, you're going to go out of your way to be a blessing to them. I read a blog about an associate pastor, and he talked about how envy was something that he struggled with for years and years, and he decided that he would be about blessing his pastor and not about blessing himself, and that he would practice taking all the praise and honor that he would want for himself and deflecting it to try to see another blessed instead of him. And that would be a way that he could fight these sinful urges in himself to have all the attention and have the blessings that others should have instead. Then make a list. Make a list of 100 things that you're blessed with. 100. Not 5. Not 10. I mean, really, that you're going to have to spend a long time thinking of this list. Now, I'll tell you how this works. My wife saw a post one time about somebody who was talking about, was it 100 things that, 100 reasons that he loved his wife. And he was challenged by this because his wife had given him something, or when she died, he had found a list of 100 reasons why she loved her husband. That's an interesting concept, 100 things. If you can come up with 100 reasons why you have been blessed, talents and abilities that you recognize, then when you feel envious of others, go back to that list. Recognize that, yeah, I'm loved by God. I don't have to be envious. And then find 3 people this week. I don't normally do these kind of things, but find 3 people this week and tell them 3 things you're thankful about them. Don't tell them you're doing this. Like, I don't think you can do it with somebody here. They'll catch on. But let people know. You know what? I really appreciate you. Give them 3 reasons. And cultivate that. Cultivate a desire to be a blessing. So the same questions again this week. Are you killing sin? Or is it killing you? Are you seeking Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit? Or do you live according to the sinful nature? Be careful. Scripture's clear. Those who live according to the sinful nature will die. That means spiritual death. We're not talking about physical death. We're talking about an eternity without Christ. Are you seeking to kill the sin and live according to the Spirit? Will you allow God to reveal your sin to you so that you can respond in repentance and know greater joy in your life? Again, we don't do this for condemnation. I'm encouraged because people came back this week. Because you kind of wonder if you're going to preach on sin, if anybody's going to want to hear it. It's encouraging because I don't know about you, And I'll tell you, these sermons are not fun to get ready for. Because whatever I preach, I can guarantee you I live that week. And it's hard to have your heart exposed for what it really is. But it's the only way we grow. It's how we reach spiritual maturity. And we need to be honest with God and ourselves about this. Will you pray with me?